It is good to see everyone today on this August 11th, 2019. We are continuing our study on the promises of God, getting them off the page into our hearts, active in our lives. And today we're looking at what Charles Spurgeon calls the greatest promise of all for the child of God. And that is Romans 8:28, a message that I have entitled, All Things for All Those. And we're going to read it, and I'm going to pray, and we are going to then dive right in. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just want to thank You for this time, for the music, for the prayers, for assembling together. I want to thank You for the smiles. I want to thank You for the encouragement, for the faith that has been spoken in this room already. I want to thank You, Lord Jesus, that we have the opportunity to come together now and look at Your Word. Father, may Your Holy Spirit be our teacher totally. Remove me, Lord. And Father, I pray that I decrease so You increase. I ask for forgiveness of the filthiness of the daily sin and weekly sin that at times enters into my life. And I pray to be cleansed by Your blood as I have confessed these sins to You. And I know I probably only need to confess them once, but I do it more than that in the closet and in that office next door. But Father, I want to thank You for Your faithfulness, for Your forgiveness. I pray that You would mortify my flesh, as Paul said, and I pray that You would fill me with Your righteousness. But Father, right now, in humility and obedience, let me share Your truth. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that Your Holy Spirit will speak to hearts. In Your glorious name we pray. Amen. Romans 8:28. Now, I am teaching you based on a book entitled The Promise, written by Robert J. Morgan. And Robert J. Morgan is a pastor in Nashville. And he pastors the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville. And we will read a few quotes out of this book in a moment. But in this book, Charles Spurgeon calls this the most wonderful promise. So I want to read it to you again. Romans 8:28, and we know. Now, we're going to do a whole sermon on that eventually, good Lord willing, because that's the key to the whole thing. There's a lot of things in God's Word, but they are not settled with certainty in our heart. Do we really know that all things are working together for good? Do we really live that way? Do we really have that mental perspective? And so we will examine that. And the Scripture goes on to say that we know that all things work together. Now, does all really mean all? Three little letters, one little word, all things. You know, the flat tire, the call from the doctor, the bad news at work, the argument with someone. Does all mean all? All things work together for good. God's weaving a tapestry, a pattern, the invisible hand of God, to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. So I just want to say right now, all things work together for good. Let me just say that. All things work together for good. Now, I just made that statement, and it's not true. Because even though that's a promise, it is a conditional promise. It is a conditional promise, like all the promises of God are conditional promises. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, I will save you. You got to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation in Him alone. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great mighty things. Well, you got to call unto Him about those things. Condition. Come unto me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Conditional. I've got to come unto Jesus. I've got to cast my cares upon him, for he cares for me. As long as I keep carrying, he will honor my free will and he'll allow me to keep carrying till I break down. So this too is conditional. So what are the conditions of this promise? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I want to give you a general condition. Right now, this only applies to the child of God. Number one, it only applies to the child of God. Whom he did foreknow, whom he did predestinate, whom he did call, whom he did save, whom he's going to glorify to be conformed to his own image. That's the next verse. But what I want you to understand, only a child of God can claim this. But not every child of God can claim this verse. So let me read it to you. Not in the way of the King James, but let me read it to you with an expansion of the Greek text. And that will expand the meaning of what is being said here. So when he says, all things work together for good to them that love God, let me share it with you this way. For all those who are actively involved in their loving relationship with God, for all those who are actively involved in their loving relationship with God. There are people who've been saved 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and for 5 years they walked with God, but something happened and they fell out with God, and they don't give God a second thought for the last 10 years. Now I'm going to tell you something. They're saved. They're going to heaven. They're going to lose their rewards. They're going to miss out on a lot they could have had. But they are saved if the Spirit is in them. But the bottom line is they can't claim this verse. Amen. And I'll show you some scriptures in a moment. For all of those who are actively involved in their loving relationship with God, and to all them who are the called according to His purpose. Part 2. And to all those who are actively pursuing to be conformed to the image of his son. Say, that's not what it said, Brother Leo. And to all those who are actively pursuing to be conformed to the image of his son, which fulfills God's purpose for your life. You know what God's purpose for your life is? To be conformed to the image of his son. To be more like Jesus. Once we get saved, we got Jesus in us. And then the Holy Spirit's working on us to make us less like self and more like Jesus. I must decrease, he must increase. So where it says, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, to them who are called according to his purpose. So, I want to say unto you right now, what is God's purpose for your life? How can I fulfill God's purpose in my life? Be actively pursuing it so I can claim Romans 8:28. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 3. This is God's ultimate purpose for your life. 2 Corinthians 3. I tell you what, it's God's eternal purpose for your life. And that's actually in my note and I left it out. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 and 18, you'll understand it why in a moment. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to pause here. I'm not going to pause the recording. Brenda, we need to pray. Is it Margie or Lee? It's Margie. Oh, okay. Let's have a word of prayer for Margie. They just had to leave the service. Father, we're going to call on you right now to be with Margie. Father, she's been having a tough battle this week with horrendous fever, chills, and infection, and that infection that's been in her body for so long. Father, I prayed with her Friday and Friday night, and I prayed that she wouldn't have to go back to that emergency room, that there would be no episode, and Lord, you answered that prayer. We talked yesterday morning. She felt better than she'd felt in a long time. And Father, I'm just praying, Lord, that this medicine's going to kick in, the wisdom of the doctors, but I'm praying for your healing hand to touch her, that this infection that is within her body will be taken out, that it will not get into the bloodstream. And I'm praying, Lord Jesus, for this miracle of healing for this dear saint whom we love. Just bless her now. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. All right. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the purpose, the job of the Spirit of the Lord, when He comes into your heart, is to work on you, to convict you, to guide you, to do a work in your life where He is changing you into the image of God. And so that's God's purpose, and we need to be actively pursuing that, actively getting changes in our life. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And look what it says in verse 10. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. The scripture says this. And when we get saved, we put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. And after we have put on the new man, we are renewed in knowledge as we grow in knowledge of God, as we grow in personal knowledge, biblical knowledge. And we looked at this Wednesday night. When we learn how God is, how God works, how He deals with us, we start recognizing these things more discernibly, and we are renewed in the image of Him that created us. So it is God's purpose that we get renewed in this life, and we need to actively pursue to be conformed to the image of His Son to fulfill God's purpose in our life. Now let me show you the ultimate fulfilling of the image. Go to 1 John 3. This is what you're headed toward. But the Lord expects us to be working on it now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, the scripture says this, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in him should be purifying himself right now, even as he is pure, and be working on being conformed to the image of His Son, because we know that that's going to be our ultimate experience in glory. So that's the eternal purpose, that now I be conformed to the image of His Son, then I'll be conformed. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, Our citizenship, once we're saved, is already in heaven. And after we're saved, we're looking to heaven, up at the sky, from where the Lord, we look for the Lord to come back, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when He comes back, He's going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, into the same image of a glorified body, according to the working and power whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. So our eternal destiny is to be conformed to the image of His Son spiritually and physically. I'm going to physically get a glorified body. I'm going to spiritually get a body that is incapable of sin. But while I'm here on earth, I am to consciously and actively pursue a life by which I am attempting to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ here on earth. And if I'm actively involved in that, I can claim this promise. Now, let me show you that first part again. He said this, for all those who love God. And I said this, for all those who are actively involved in their loving relationship with God. Well, Brother Leo, I love Jesus. I tell Him that all the time. Do you? Well, that's a part of it. You know, when you're in love with somebody, you need to vocalize. But as Max Lucado says, it's got to be more than that. Anybody can tell you they love you, but you can only really know if they love you by their actions. And so the Lord Jesus gave us that same principle. And so we not only can tell if others love us, we can tell what kind of job we're doing in loving God. And so let's look at the words of Jesus. Go with me to John 14. In John 14, verse 15, the scripture says this. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So, what are you saying? If you are in a relationship where you are actively loving God, you are actively pursuing obedience. And you say, well, Brother Leo, why do I have to pursue obedience? Because you know obedience pleases God. Obedience pleases God. Would you say that with me? Obedience pleases God. Would you say that again? Obedience pleases God. So let me tell you something. When you love somebody, you know what you want to do? You want to please them. You know, Sue loves Bobby, and you know what she does? She's going to cook Bobby something for dinner that she knows he likes eating. When you love somebody, you don't cook something for them for dinner that they don't like eating. You cook what they like eating. My mother always cooked what we loved eating. My mama always cooked what me and Daniel loved to eat. You know why? Because they love you. And so they want to please you. So I want you to understand, love and obedience walk hand in hand. Love and what pleases the person you love walk hand in hand. You want to do things for them. You want to love them. You want to show them your love. And so the Lord says, if you love me, you will pursue obedience in your life. Go with me to John chapter 15, verse 9. John chapter 15, verse 9. The scripture says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. You know, what's that? That's God saying, I love you. Every time you read in the scriptures, every time you read in the red letters and it says, I love you, say it back to Him. Say, well, Jesus, I love you too. Lord, I just read verse 14. You said you love me. I just want you to know I love you too. And I want to thank you that you love me first. And you drew me to you with your love. And you love me in a way I can't understand. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you are showing that you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in His love. The Lord lived a perfect life because He loved the Father perfectly. We are to live a life of obedience seriously serious obedience unto God, because we love Him. We don't want to disappoint Him. We don't want to hurt Him. We don't want to sin against Him. And so we're actively pursuing our love, obedient relationship with Jesus. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater loveth no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be actively loving others, because I know that pleases the one I love in heaven, even those that are hard to love. We can't settle for that. We have to confess, Lord, I'm not loving this person, and I know that's wrong. And we have to seek the Lord and seek the Lord and seek the Lord. So if you love me, you will love others. Verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. So a command is something you obey. So love and obedience walk hand in hand. Go back with me to John 13. John 13, verse 34. And it says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So there are two conditions. For we know that all things work together for good to all those who are actively involved in their loving relationship with God, and they are showing this as they actively pursue obedience to please God. And then secondly, and to all who are actively pursuing to be conformed to the image of His Son, to fulfill God's purpose for my life. I need to love like Jesus. I need to forgive like Jesus. I need to be growing in my compassion for others. I need to be respectful, kind, loving. I need the image of God to be reflecting in my life. Now, if I'm pursuing those two areas, I can claim Romans 8:28. Now, I want to read to you a couple of passages out of this book, The Promise, by Robert Morgan. And I want you to see what is said. Robert Morgan, Nashville, Tennessee, pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship. This is Charles Spurgeon. Everything that happens to you is for your own good. You gain by loss. You grow healthy in sickness. You live by dying. And you are made rich in losses. Could you ask for a better promise? It is better that all things should work for my good than that all things should be as I wish them to be. Let me read that to you again. Based on this promise and us trusting God, it is better that all things should work for my good than all things should be as I wish them to be. Now, you're going to have to claim that if you want to live this promise. All things might work for my pleasure, but they may result in my ruin. All things may work for your pleasure, but they can result in your ruin. If all things do not always please me, based on Romans 8:28, I know that they will always benefit me. This is the best promise a child of God can receive in this life. Now, my friend, that's true. That is true. All things work together for good. A.W. Tozer, another spiritual giant of yesterday, says this: to the child of God, there is no such thing as an accident. He travels an appointed way. Accidents may appear to befall him, and misfortune may stalk his way, but these evils are in appearance only, and only seem to be evil because we cannot read the secret script of God, and we cannot see the movement of His unseen hand. You ever apply for a job and didn't get it, and you were totally disappointed in it? Well, God had you another job. How about that young person you thought you needed to marry? And it didn't work out and you were heartbroken. Well, God had somebody else for you. We can't see the unseen hand of God. We can't read the secret script that He sees from the beginning to the end. So we trust God. But now I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you can't claim this verse because you can say, Lord, I've been totally out of Your will for the last 6 months. I've been totally out of Your will for the last 3 years. And I'm in a mess today, or things aren't going well today. Well, confess that to Him. Recommit to Him. Commit based on these two conditions and get this promise working in your life. Because it is wonderful. And it is neat. Consider this. What if you knew everything's going to turn out well, whatever you're facing today? Wouldn't that be wonderful? What if you knew everything was going to turn out well that you're facing today? What if Romans 8:28 were really more than just a religious cliche? I mean, it is, isn't it? It's so cliches. I hear folks say, well, really, I know all things work together for good. And a lot of times they don't even say the I know, because they don't. Oh, Brother Leo, I know the Bible says all things work together for good, but. Well, there is a but. There's two conditions you need to be living in. And the first condition is you need to grasp it with certainty and faith. What if it were more than a cliche? What if it was a certainty, a spirit-certified life preserver, an unsinkable objective truth? Let me ask you a huge question here. What if Romans 8:28 really worked? Brother Leo, you're mocking religious people that sit in church every day. What if it really worked? What, hey, man, what if this thing's really true? What if Romans 8:28 really worked? How about this? What if it always worked? All things? What if it always worked? What if there was no problem, no tragedy, no heartache, beyond its reach? We're going to study this promise for about 5 weeks. Because we need to settle this. I need to settle. What if it really worked? What if it always worked? What if there were no problems beyond its reach? Would that make a difference in the way you think and live? I think it would. You know, my sister, I know tomorrow's a tough deal and a tough situation, but it's Cameron Parade. Man, what, you know, sometimes things like this totally change a person's life. You know, Liz, things we can't even imagine. What if a year from now she's on the mission field somewhere? You know, we give up. You know, I praise God, Bobby, that a lot of people are praying for the salvation of people I know that they don't know them, because when I pray, I'm half-hearted because I know how they've lived and how they think and how they still think today. And people that don't know them can really pray for them because they're praying for them with a clean slate. So what if Romans 8:28 really worked and nothing was beyond its reach? Would that make a difference in how you lived? And then he says this. When it comes to Romans 8:28, what if you really believed it? What if you really believed Therefore, we know that all things. Let me read this to you. The Lord moves heaven and earth to keep His promises. I praise God He's able to do that. He puts His eyes to the microscope of providential oversight. I'm going to teach you what providence is next week. If God doesn't call me home or the rapture doesn't occur. And He scans the smallest details of our lives, working them into a tapestry of blessing. He makes sure that goodness and mercy follow us all our days. God turns problems inside out. He transforms bad things to blessings, and He converts trial and tragedy into triumph. This is the beautiful thing. He alone knows how to bring Easter mornings out of Good Friday afternoons. He alone knows how to bring Easter morning out of a Good Friday afternoon. Remember the road to Emmaus? We trusted He was the one, but they've killed Him. We've lost our leader. It's all over. No, it was through His death that He can save those two that were walking with Him after the resurrection. Only God can bring an Easter morning out of a Good Friday in your life. This is the final one. Think of the problems, the burdens, the heartaches, and the disappointments of your life. Is any one of them beyond the reach of Romans 8:28? Can there possibly be a trial that isn't covered by those three wonderful letters, A-L-L? All means all. Every problem. For we know that every last detail of our lives work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. That's God's guarantee for you and me and for all who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Now, I want you to go back to it. And I'm going to read it with you, and I want you to read it out loud with me. I'm not going to start on God's providence today. I'll show you real quickly. I know folks on the internet can't see it. If you can see my outline, you see how I do it, and I do my little circles. We covered that today. So we didn't cover. We covered one-fourth. I'm proud of that. And we've been rolling for 33 minutes. So if we covered four of those, we'd be in trouble today and we'd go right clear through to the cookout. All right, Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read it to you. It says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, I want you to read it with me, but we're going to do it this way. Instead of saying, "and we know," we're going to say, "and I know." And if you've got a different translation, you can read it, but you put "I know." And I thank you, Dave. Tony, man, we're getting uptown here. We got it up there so you can read my translation, the King James, and we want to put "I." So let's go with it. Are you ready? "And I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Let's do it again. "And I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now I just want you to say three words, "and I know." Would you say that with me? "And I know." Say it again. "And I know." "And I know." My friend, whatever you face this week, would you put it within the parentheses of this verse? Whatever you go through, I want you to put it in the parentheses of this verse. And I want you to say to the Lord, "Lord, I know that You are trying to work out all things for my good. And Lord, I'm committing to You. I'm going to live, I'm going to love you more. I'm going to please you more. I'm going to be more obedient. Father, I'm going to allow you to work in my life more and more to conform me to your image. And I'm claiming Romans 8:28 for this situation right here, Lord, that it's working together, that you're working out a pattern I can't see. And in that 30-second prayer, my friend, you have turned this thing upside down. You've given glory to God. You have built your faith. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't just do it once. Anything that comes up, put it in these parameters. Put it in these parentheses. And speak it out loud if you can. Speak it in your heart. Speak it in your mind. The greatest preacher you'll ever have is yourself. The greatest preacher you'll ever have is yourself. Because you can preach to yourself anytime. You can call upon the word of the Lord. You can encourage yourself. I know, Lord, I know that you are working these things for my good, for my family's good. And Lord, I'm going to claim it because I'm committing to a deeper love, a fuller obedience, a greater pleasing of you. I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord Jesus. Conform me. I'm looking into you as I study your truth, as I have my devotions. Conform me more and more into your image. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And in this brief moment, I'm going to ask you to put one situation within the parentheses of Romans 8:28 and pray if the Holy Spirit leads you. I just prayed as the Spirit would lead me in this situation. I want you to pray as the Spirit would lead you. One situation, one person, one set of circumstances, and commit to it all week.